I got to tell you a story. I got to tell you this because I think it's a God thing. Well, I don't think. I know it is. And it's exciting what the Lord did even while we were camping away for a few days just down the road, Petaluma. And as we got there, we set up our trailer and got all set up. And there was we deliberately set our trailer right across from this really awesome playground at the campsite there, and so the girls, we could sit out there and watch the girls play at this playground. Well, lo and behold, within minutes, it seemed like they were jumping, playing, and going around there, and then there's a swarm of kids that were also playing, too. So all the kids it was a good day that day, they were in the campground, they all swarmed the playground, and Jordan, our 10-year-old, she's almost instantly comes up and says, "Hey, Nana, Papa, guess what? There's some other kids here, and they're Christians, and they're homeschooled. It's like, it's awesome. We're playing with them, and we're best friends already." And it was great. And so they were playing, and they were having a good time. And the whole camping trip, this is like 3 days, they played with these friends. And I'd said hi to the parents. We kind of casually met, didn't recognize them. But as I literally, this is exactly how it happens. And I got to tell you these things because it's like, as these things actually happen and play out, you're thinking there's no way this could have played out other than God orchestrated it and God put it all together. Robin gets all the kids loaded up. She goes she's headed to the office to check out. And I'm in my truck. I got the trailer hooked up and I'm literally inching forward out of the campsite in the family pulls up in their van right in front of me and stops me and says, "Oh, hey, you guys are leaving. I just wanted to connect because the girls, they all connected. They seem to really get along as friends. And are you guys local?" And I said, "Well, yes. I mean, we're up the road a little ways up out of Sacramento in Lincoln." She goes, "Oh, I know Lincoln. I have friends in Lincoln." I'm like, "Oh, that's awesome. Okay, great." And so we started talking a little more and so, yeah, we've been here for a little while. We're kind of on an adventure. She didn't really kind of share a whole lot. And we're going to be here a little while longer. We're kind of on this adventure. Lo and behold, she asks about Lincoln. And I said, "Well, yeah, I pastor a church up there in Lincoln." And she goes, "Oh, what's the name of the church?" And I said, "Oh, it's called the Salt Mine." And she goes, "Are you serious?" She goes, this is her words. This is in the Bay Area, mind you. She goes, "Do you know Glenn Vance?" I'm like, "Yeah, I actually do." She goes, "He and my dad were best friends." And I said, "Who's your dad?" And she goes, "Bob Nero." And I'm like, "You're Michelle? And I know Bob only has one daughter." Two, okay, the one I know. I don't even know the other one. What's the other one's name? Laura. You're right, Laura. Yeah. It's like when you ask somebody, "What's your name again?" And they tell you, you're like, "Yeah, you're right." So what transpired was this awesome encounter with the Lord and with us. And I want to share with you guys this because this is where it gets even, I think, even funnier. Is her husband is Max Mendoza, and her name is Michelle Mendoza, and they have three kids. He's actually an ordained minister through the Salt Mine, were at the church that exists down in Temecula area in the Thousand Oaks campground is one that Bob actually ministers too, and Max was somebody that ministered alongside him, and I'm like, this is so amazing. Where they're at in their plight, and I'm going to ask us to be praying for them, and this is why it's something I just want to share is just for us to be as a church praying for them. They will visit and join soon because, like I said, the connection was made. And it was really genuine. They've been out of their home for almost a year now. The job that he had, there was a fire in the warehouse. He lost the job. The home that they lived in, within months of the fire taking place, they discovered black mold in it. So the only thing they had left was a big motorhome. And they've been living in a campground for a year now. They need a job. They need a home. They need a place to minister. And they love Petaluma. They don't know if that's where they're going to stay and where God's planted them. But if God allows, and if I could put in a word to God for them, Lincoln is beautiful. Lincoln's amazing. There's a neat church here that I'd like to invite him to and get him involved in. But let's let God do that. If it were my way, like everybody I'd meet would be here at church, and it would be we'd be not being able to fit, and that's okay. God knows all those things. Max Mendoza, Michelle Mendoza, and their three children, job, finances. And I don't know about it, the rest of you, if you can just even fathom for just a moment, being married with three kids under 13 in a motorhome for a year. Pray for their marriage, please. Yes. It's an obvious one. Like but their disposition was so full of hope and joy and peace, and they didn't complain a second about their situation. Instead, they just said, if God opens up a door, we're going to go through it. And how God opens it up, we don't know. We just don't see any way that we're going to get out of this. We just know that we're just trusting God. And I know that there's some of you can really relate to that, what that looks like in your life and how that place in your life has been at certain times where your only move was to say, God, you're going to have to do something here. And that's where they're at. So I got this message this morning. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and I think it's going to fall into this as share about what God is doing, because like I said, it was about the disposition of the person that struck me as like, wow, they look like Jesus followers. And I thought, you know, this is interesting how a Jesus follower seems like, well, you know, he's got to have the nice house, the nice car, and dressed in the nice clothes, and you know, say amen and hallelujah and how are you doing today? Blessed and highly favored, brother. You know, do you have to say all these right things? Do you have to look all this right way, or is it about what comes out of your heart and what comes out of this? What is your disposition? What is the evidence of God in your life look like? Okay, I'll ask it this way. How fruity are you? How fruity are you? Because that's what I want to focus on this morning and even next week. And I actually did something that I'm going to surprise you, but I don't think you might not believe me. I cut this message in half. Thank you. I'm thinking I better cut this in half, because either I'm going to have to go like, whoo, 65 miles an hour in a 25 mile an hour zone, or we're going to have to spend a couple weeks on this. So let's, I think this is imperative that we talk about, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives and what that looks like. I couldn't help but go to a couple of passages in Scripture that to me they made a lot more sense to, yeah, there's Galatians chapter 5 that gives us the nine descriptors of the fruits of the Spirit. There's nine of them in Galatians chapter 5. I know we talked about this before. The lists in the Bible are wonderful, fantastic, they're helpful. But know that every list in the Bible isn't necessarily all-inclusive of to what actually is out there and available as a fruit of the Spirit. We're talking about even the gifts of the Spirit. You know, how God uses every individual in every situation that is available and open to being used by God, and that gift that he pours into you to be used by you to help others could have something to do with nothing that you've ever experienced before. You know, in other words, God can use you at any given moment, at any given time, any given way that he sees fit to. Wow, that was really good. I think somebody ought to have said amen to that. But God can use you any way he wants, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. There you go. It was a little weak, but that's all right. well, at least you're getting on board. We're getting this, right? Is it called engagement? That's what church is. This isn't, you didn't come to the movies. This is engagement. So I'm going to hit this in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. You guys, this is a great passage of scripture. You're like, how does that talk about the fruit of the Spirit? Well, listen, this is really good. This is fun. Anyway, so have fun with me. You guys ready? Okay, let's do this. I feel like I'm like ready to go to a game or something. I don't know why. Ready to play some ball. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3, ESV version is what I'm using. Want to pop it up, Michael? Michael, he's in the house? Good to have you in the house. Yeah, good to have you in the house. Man, I love it when Michael's here. I love it when everybody's here. You know what? I was looking back, I peeked back while I was worshiping, and I was so blessed by every single one of your faces. And I don't think I caught every one under your faces, but I was just like, wow, this church is awesome. People here are amazing and beautiful. And I just love every one of you. And I feel like that's the love of God. And it's not even close to the actual love of God. But the love of God for you is real and good. I just want you guys to know that. If you hear anything this morning, just hear that. You can leave now if that's all you want to hear. And that's okay. I won't be offended. No, stick around. It's good stuff. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is what, and Jesus quoted this. We remember this part. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Real quick, let's just catch that first phrase right off the bat. Who is upon him? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes. Most translations will say a crown, a tiara, if you will, instead of ashes. The oil of gladness instead of mourning. The garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. That they may be called oaks of righteousness. The planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. That he may be glorified. If you have a study Bible, you might even have this little note that says that he may display his beauty through you. That's awesome. So let's just camp here for a minute or for the rest of this morning. But I want to hit this one subject very intently. In fact, the wording he uses here, the oaks of righteousness. Why do you think God refers to us as becoming and being known, being called, being referred to as an oak of righteousness, an oak tree? Think about it, an oak tree. Strong, that's a good descriptor. Oak trees are strong in their root system, their limbs, they're healthy trees. Hello? Robin and I, we took the kids during our camping trip. We went to this little kids museum, and it was the neatest thing. Both of us had, we were just kind of doing all these interactive things with the kids, and there's this sweet lady just sitting in this little kid's chair so she could be at kids' heights with a little kid's table, and it was called a lichen display or a interactive lichen, L-I-C-H-E-N, lichen, like moss, you know. And she had all these tree limbs and rocks and stuff that had lichen on it. And she was teaching the kids about lichen, and the kids were really involved, and they got to make this bookmark made of lichen. It was neat. I was liking it. It was really cool. I was really digging it. But she said something, and this is what Robin and I discovered, and Robin even saw it clearer than I did. It's like, she was probably one of the best teachers that even she experienced, because she said she used this interaction that she pretended like she didn't know and would ask the kids questions to get them to think, to get them to answer. But she made a statement, and it was just in this like really subtle like passing of what she was teaching. She made a statement that I don't think I'd ever heard this before, and I did the research on it, and I'm going to bring it, and that's what I'm bringing this morning. You learn something if you listen. I believe this. There's good teachers that can teach good stuff, but I believe learning and hearing is about the listener. Hello? I know you guys, and we all pray this. May we hear the words that come from you. I'd like us to follow that prayer up every single time. If I can encourage every one of us, if you will follow that prayer up with, and my ears may be tuned to hear your voice. I want to hear the words from God, but I need to, Lord, help my ears to tune into your voice. Hello? You guys good with that? I think that is a win-win-win, especially from my perspective, because it doesn't really, I mean, it does matter what I say. It does. It does matter what Stephen says or what Adam says. But it matters more what we hear, right? You guys know this. It's like something I want to beat into us. Forgive the word beat, but pound. Forgive the word pound, but like really, really help us to get it. Help us to open our ears. Amen? Okay. So my ears were open like, ooh, that was a good one. She said that this, an oak tree is a keystone species. And I said, what is that? My ears perked up really quick. Like, an oak tree is a keystone species. And I said, that's interesting. I've heard the word oak before somewhere. Oh, in the Bible, maybe. We're called oaks of righteousness. A keystone species. What is a keystone species? Good question. Right? What is a keystone species? They're all over. And ecological people. See, I told you, it doesn't matter what I say. You guys hear it the right way, right? See, that was a good example. So I'll give the definition of it in a second. But here's the definition of a keystone species. A keystone species is a species on which other species in an ecosystem largely depend upon, such that if they were removed, if that species was removed, the entire ecosystem would change drastically. That's interesting, huh? And he calls us oaks of righteousness. That's awesome. So much so that there's like, the wording of it like makes a lot of sense to me, because didn't Jesus say you are the salt of the earth? He didn't say you should be or you could be or you ought to be. He said you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. He didn't say, oh, maybe you should strive to be the light of the world. And he said, no, you are the light of the world. Hello? You are an oak of righteousness. You are a keystone species. Now, I don't know if that offends you, because it's like, you know, about, it's not about being a tree hugger, okay? Please, just get that out of your head. Whatever you want to do, just get it out of your head. I like trees, by the way. I wanted to be a tree hugger before I got saved. I was really like into forestry and stuff. I was like, I took a class when I was a freshman back in high. I don't know what I was going to go with that, but I was like, okay, I guess I'm talking like a freshman again. And it was a forestry class, and man, I would dug it. That's what I wanted to do. Like, I wanted to be a baseball player who was into forestry. I was confused. I didn't have Jesus. That makes sense, right? Let's move on. Okay. I did the research. Zoologist Robert Payne discovered this concept in 1969. And how he discovered it is by doing an experiment. It was up in a cove up in the, I think it was in the Washington area. And it was a small cove. And he removed all of these starfish in this small cove. And in this experiment, what they discovered is because the starfish, they fed on a what are those little like clam looking things that stick onto the rocks, mollusks, whatever, you know, mussels. Yeah, mussels. That, I think that's what I was looking for. I don't know why the name escaped me. But so when the starfish were all removed, all the mussels in the whole entire this cove, they took over. They took over so much so that they actually started destroying the entire ecosystem because he removed one piece in that ecosystem, and that was the starfish. So he declared that starfish are actually a keystone species. That's pretty cool, right? I didn't know I was going to go to school today either. That's super cool stuff. And this is like, and then they've discovered all kinds of different attributes or different species that are characterized by like what they bring to the table, if you will. There's an umbrella species, that which they cover up others, cover over entire species. There's an indicator species. In other words, how that species is going is you can determine how the rest of the species are doing. I didn't know this. Lichen is an indicator species. Did you know this? Who know this stuff? This is out here. This is the evidence of God's glory. I'm going to tell you how lichen is an indicator species. You guys ready? I am going to talk about God in this. You're going to get God in this, okay? Promise. Is where there's clean, good, healthy air to breathe is where lichen likes to be. So if you see lichen on the trees and on the rocks, take a deep breath because it's good air to breathe. Get the mask off if you're outside. Please, don't wear a mask if you're outside. Breathe the fresh air. I know I said that for years now, at least 3 or 4 years, but breathe the fresh air. It's healthy. It's good. Lichen is an indicator species. That's pretty cool stuff. So we are called oaks of righteousness. Oaks of righteousness. So I want to talk about this in regards to the fruit of the Spirit. Let's hit this really hard, if you will. I think this is what God is doing in our time right now. See, because typically when we think of a fruit of the Spirit, we think of the fun fruits, right? Right? I don't know. I remember how many times in kids' church we'd use, like, you know, grapes and bananas and peaches and oranges and apples and all the fun fruits to talk about. To say, oh, it's like this, you know, it's like that. It's like, and the cute fruits, the ones that, you know, you could pick off a tree and just eat just right off the tree. But an oak is different, isn't it? An oak tree is different. Who goes to an oak tree and picks an acorn off and eats it? Squirrels. Exactly. But typically not us. So oak trees, but here's this, there's some other things about oak trees. Oak trees don't provide traditional nectar like other trees and flowers. But listen to this, honeybees and other pollinators, they still favor them. Oaks secrete a substance, listen to this, a substance similar to nectar and attract the pollinators. And that nectar is actually so powerful, it protects the trees from harmful insects and pests. As a result, oak trees aren't prone to many pests and diseases. That's good stuff. You are an oak. You are an oak. I like that phrase. I don't know why I like that phrase. Maybe because Val Kilmer said it in Tombstone in regards to why you're an oak, right? Come on, anybody else remember that line? Oh, man, I'm your Huckleberry. You're an oak. Oh, man, Cameron sent me a video yesterday. Anyway. Man, a squirrel, like I swear, it's, yeah. oak trees is typically not known for its fruit, correct? Although oak trees don't yield traditional fruit that we think of, they do produce loads and loads and loads of acorns. In fact, they produce approximately 10,000 acorns each year. And while acorn production aims to generate more oak trees, in other words, it's their seed, only about 1 in 1,000 acorns will become another tree. Acorns are a primary food source for many, many other creatures, animals that also function in our ecosystem that bring good to it. So here's the thing that I'd like us to consider. If God has called us to be oaks, and that's what he said. It's in fact, when I did the research in my mind about other things that God refers to us as, you know, as sheep. Hello? He refers to us as sheep. That's another one, right? He refers to us as even dirt, you know, so that the soil, you know, is that which we it's our heart. So he refers to us as buildings. But as far as like another plant or a tree, us being referred to as an actual tree or a plant, the oak is the only one that I can recall in my mind, unless there's another one. I know he uses other terminology like faith as a mustard seed. He didn't say you are a mustard seed or a mustard tree. But he does say you are an oak. It's the only tree that he refers to us as. He uses other trees and other things as examples, but this is what he refers to us as. So I think we owe it to ourselves and to be listening to what God is saying to us is what kind of fruit does that mean? What does that look like in the grand scheme of things, or me being a fruitful Christian, or a Christian that is spirit-filled, that has the fruit of the Spirit coming off of us, out of us, and through us. Amen? So I know that seems like an odd way to say, like, let's look at the oak. But let's look at the oak. We're looking at the oak tree. And again, it's as being called oaks, I believe this is a work of the Holy Spirit taking place in our lives. Because that's what he says, is you will be called. So to be called an oak of righteousness, there has to be some identification. Somebody has to notice, recognize, that's an oak tree. Hello? Right? Can you recognize an oak tree in this world? And yeah, we live in this area. California has like, I think over 600 or something like that oak tree variants in California alone. Like, it's awesome. Like, we really, it becomes a keystone species to where it's protected. I learned this back working in construction. You guys, if any of you have been in the construction world, David, you know this one very well, is that if your construction crew, if you're building a home or putting a building up on a piece of property, and if you accidentally kill an oak tree, I think the cost now is $80,000 is what you get fined. Your company will get fined. This was about 30 years ago. I remember when we were working on this big job and it had this one massive oak tree right smack in the middle. We were working on a big hotel and they built the courtyard around this oak tree. And my boss said, don't even look at that tree. Don't even peek at it. Make sure everything you do is at least 40 feet away from it, because it'll cost me $20,000 if you even dent that tree or make that tree upset to where it breaks a limb off. Like, we cannot break that tree. We cannot kill that tree. Now I believe it's up to $80,000. So oak trees are protected. That's a good thing. I think so. Anyway, has anybody ever tried to bite into an acorn? Come on. It's all boys in the group, all men in the group, yeah. Dude, we all tried it. Like, heck yeah. Like, if, like all the guys in the group have, at one point in their life, had tried to bite into an acorn to see what it tastes like. Yeah, and it definitely, I was like, I don't know what those squirrels were seeing in that thing, but man, it is nasty. It's like, whoo, it's gnarly. So let's get back to this, because I think that's good to know. That's good to know even that point there. I like that the indigenous people of our area, they lived off of them. They ate them. They found a way to put it into their food system. I like that. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 through 26. This is the back end of, if you will, of let us walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. And here's how you do it. So next week, guess what? You come back next week. This is where it gets split in half. We're going to talk about the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit next week. And how they work in our lives and how they come out. But this week is really about dealing with the issue at hand. It really has to do with this one topic, is what is inside of you is what's going to come out of you. Hello? Isn't that really what fruit is? Fruit that comes off of a tree tells you what kind of tree it is, right? It's not the actual tree, but it's an identifier, an indicator of what kind of tree it is by the fruit that it generates, by the fruit that it makes. So this, I'm going to read these couple of passages, and again, we're going to talk about it. Like I said, I split this in half, so I have a feeling, just never mind, just don't listen to me when I talk about how long I'm going to talk, just ignore me. Just because we're going to, yeah, thank you, yeah. Don't worry, we do always. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 through 26. What's up, Ollie? Ollie, Ollie, Ollie. Ollie. Yeah. There you go. That's good boy. Good boy. So those who belong to Christ Jesus, listen to this, have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. And since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. See, I always enjoy discussing the fruit of the Spirit, talking about the fruit of the Spirit, because it's such a part of like what God has done in me and through me, and how God uses me as a pastor to promote the evidence of God in your life. Let's see what God is doing. In fact, I guarantee this, if you open your eyes, you'll find God doing stuff in your lives. Here's what's even a better thing. I want to encourage you this. If you open your eyes to see, you'll see God doing stuff in other people's lives. Hello? You'll see the movement of God in other people's lives. That requires you to just look there. I know our eyes want to go to the warts and the bumps and the cuts and the bruises and the ugly stuff. And we, you know, it's like it's a train wreck. When we see it, we just got to look at it. And we want to highlight it and say, wow, that's really, you're going to wear that? Like, oh, man, yeah, you're gonna, like, man, yeah, what, you know, you just, but when we look and we choose to go and see what God is doing, we'll see the evidence of God's goodness all over the place and in other people's lives. Amen? Come on, brothers and sisters. I think this is really important for us to get this principle. Let's look for God in people's lives. Let's look for God doing stuff in my life. Let's look for God doing stuff in your life. Let's open our eyes to see God and encourage people to say, that's good. Keep going that way. That's good. Keep going that direction. That encouragement that we find when we, 'cause here's the thing, right? Does anybody like to come into the room and be pointed out that you were late? Hello? No, really. Yeah, I know I'm late. But, I mean, whose bright idea was it to turn the clocks back or forward this morning and rob an hour of sleep off of me. I mean, is that really necessary to point out each other's flaws? Is it really necessary? Do you have to really make yourself feel so much better by telling you or telling somebody else that you look like crap today? I'm being just straight up. I'm being straight up because I think that that's something that we're prone to do. We're prone to point out each other's flaws. And we've got to repent. And I believe it's a work of the flesh, 100%. If I got to make you look bad to make me look good, then that's not of God. It's okay. It's okay if you're late. It's okay if you just couldn't get it together. And man, I'm dragging kids in and I'm kicking them through the doors. And it's okay to be a little off because this is a place where you can get on. Amen? Amen. If you come into a place and somebody makes you just like, I mean, who would want to come to places like that? Especially church. Hello? Especially church. Come on, brothers and sisters. And I think that we're really good at that, but I think we could always improve. Amen? Amen. And I don't even, that wasn't a part, that's totally like, I won't even pass the basket around again for that one. That was a freebie. I don't even know where that came from, other than I guess it was needed to be said. I always enjoy, again, discussing. And you know, there's the list, right? The nine, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They're easy to memorize, I think, at least for me. But what good is that going to do? Having it memorized in my head if I'm not producing it. Amen? So memorizing them is fantastic. You can memorize them so you can beat yourself up about them when you don't, but that's okay. Just don't beat others up about it, right? Because that's what the fruit of the Spirit is about. It's about you producing it, letting God do it in you so that others can pick it and eat it. The fruit is very similar to the gifts. Remember, it's 2 Corinthians 12:7. The gifts of the Spirit are for the benefit of others, of serving others. The fruit of the Spirit is the same way. It's for the benefit of others. So the whole purpose in producing the fruit of the Spirit must not ever be overlooked, must not ever be lost, and must not ever be forgotten. I mean this, and that this is really, I get passionate about it because I think it's important. If you don't know by now, I'm going to tell you guys, oh, thanks. There you go, popped it up. About 8 years ago, a gentleman that is a friend of mine that goes to another church in town, an older fella. He and his wife were retired Army lieutenants. I mean, they retired with a high ranking. They both were retired Army lieutenants. And they were both very generous and very Christ-like. And they called me up and said, "Hey, Eric, we want to give you this truck and trailer." And I'm like, "You mean an actual like truck and trailer? Is it like Tonka or what are you talking about?" He's like, "It's like no, we're gonna go and we're gonna scale down. They were gonna buy one of these little motor home, and it was a beauty. They showed me their new one, and I won't tell you the price tag because." It's like, whoa, that's awesome. But it was a Mercedes travel trailer. Or it was a motorhome, little one. And so we want to give you this truck and trailer but we want you to consider keeping it for yourself. And I'm like, okay. I guess I won't argue with you. So So the pickup, the trailer we sold because it was just not, it wasn't going to, anyway, is a fifth wheel. But the truck, the pickup I drive still to this day was given to me by these friends of mine that wanted to bless us and bless me in that. And it's a 2008 F-350. Yeah, it's a beast. It's got dualies on it. It's a beast. You guys see me driving around all the time. And you probably see me at the gas station at least twice a day because that's what it takes. Because it's like literally. But ever since I've had this pickup that I can know of and I can think of and remember of, it's the alignment's been a little bit off. And it's like, okay, no big deal. I'll just drive correcting it constantly. Well, two sets of tires later, driving constantly correcting it, and finally this last set of tires, I'm like, man, I'm tired of this. I'm going through tires fast. The last set of tires was really brutal. Like, I was surprised I made it. Like, in fact, when I realized what was going on there, I mean, it was like metal cords around just the inside of it was bad. I'm like, wow, this is kind of embarrassing. I'm driving this thing, and this, I'm not sure if it's going to make it from A to B, from my house to here. So I took it in, and I did something. I got it aligned, and you got to have a special, like, because it's so big. It requires a whole apparatus to align something that big. And by the way, I've always said. So remember, if you always say it, never say never. But if you say never, I guarantee you probably will be going to come back on you. I always said I'll never drive a Ford even if somebody gives me one. Until somebody gave me one. I'm still true blue Chevy man myself, but that's all right. I'm driving a Ford. I don't know. I don't even want to look, see who's clapping because I don't want to know who you are. So I believe we must stay aligned in regards to the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, because if we get out of alignment, well, here's what we'll do. We'll continue to just go that direction, but it will be to our own destruction, and it could be to where we end up finally going off the road. That's why I think it's really important for us to get why God gifts the Spirit, why God tells us to walk in the Spirit and display the fruit of the Spirit. Because if we make it about ourselves, anything about ourselves, we're out of alignment. Amen? If you make it anything about it, don't use this phrase in my hearing ears, my gifting. If you use that phrase, I'm going to come at you hard and I'm going to come at you and correct you, because there's nowhere in the Bible that it is yours. It's God's. And He chooses to gift, He chooses to bless, and He chooses to make you fruitful. Have you ever seen a grapevine, a tree? Have you ever seen okay, maybe you've seen Christians that go around doing this. They walk around like, grape, oh. Oh, there's one. Nectarine. Oh, have you ever seen a tree grunt to make its fruit? I know the picture is like really like, oh, that's super weird, Eric. But when you go around as a Christian trying to produce fruit, you're like a tree that's trying to like grunt out an orange. They just sit in the sun. They just soak up the water. And they just let God grow through them. Come on, that's good. That's good. Because that's what we're called to do. Just let God do it through you. Yes, align yourself, but let Him do it through you. Amen? So the whole purpose in producing the fruit of the Spirit must never be overlooked, lost, or forgotten. Here's some purposes. I'm going to give you, I wrote down about eight to 10 of them. It says this, is to display the goodness of God to others. To display the goodness of God to others. And remember, you are oaks. You are an oak. that's so good to say. To reveal the beauty of God to others. That's the purpose of being fruitful. To reveal the beauty of God to others. To display the goodness of God to others. To give others the grace and mercy of God that you have received. To be the love of God to others. To light up the truth of God for others to receive. To provide stability of God, to provide the stability of God for others to stand firm when everything else is being shaken. That's what the fruit of God is for. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is for.
Eric, would you mind repeating that?
That last one is a little wordy. To provide the stability of God for others to stand firm when everything is shaking. Amen. Do we need that now? Do we need to be fruity? Yes. We need to be oaks. Oaks. To give the rest of God to those that are just tired. To bring the nourishment of God to those that are weak. This is all for the glory of God. So you see, the fruit of the Spirit can only come from Him, be about Him, and cause others to look to Him. If you're producing a fruit that makes others look to you, it's not God fruit. It's spoiled fruit, rotten fruit. And God showed me this in a picture this week. It's from Scripture, though, but the picture is this. If there's a poisonous tree in your garden, it will be laced with poison. All the fruit will be laced with poison. It may look safe, but it will be laced with poison. I know that's a deep one, and it's another discussion as we talk next week about the difference, the distinction between the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. We'll get into it deeper, but I want us to just let that settle in for a second. So I want to finish up here. Well, it's not really finishing. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm going to read a passage in Luke chapter 6, and then we will finish up. Because this is what Jesus said. This is how Jesus said it, and it was in the text, this passage. So a good tree can't produce bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit. And a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good, and you guys, I don't know if you saw that in my text. You know, what's a bramble bush, right? So if you don't know what it is, just look it up, and it's of the rose family. So it's the thorny family of trees and bushes, but of that family also come blackberries, raspberries, and that which have thorns but also produce fruit. So we don't, I like growing stuff. I have blackberry, raspberry, grapes and cherry tree. I have all this like within about a 12-foot span in my backyard that I really like. I got a dragon fruit plant. That thing is cool. I like that.
A
dragon fruit. Robin hates it. It's the ugliest thing in her. She thinks it's disgusting because you got to have this trellis built, and it's got these long, like skankly looking things that come out, and it makes this. I wish I had it. Okay, I'll show it to you next week. Got to come next week. I'll show you it produces a flower for one night of the year. And that flower brings the dragon fruit. One night, this flower will flower on the dragon fruit. And every time, it's been my second year. Now, I haven't gotten a good dragon fruit out of it yet, but I'm working on it. Like, I'm figuring it out. I don't know how, but I'm figuring it out. This flower is like literally about a foot and a half wide. It's the most beautiful flower that you've ever seen, and it's right there smack in my backyard, but it's only and it comes out at night. And it sticks around to the morning time, but as soon as the sun comes up and the sun starts hitting it, it starts to like close up and it's done. And then from there, the dragon fruit comes about. It's cool. I'll show you a picture next week. I got it on my, but I'm not going to figure out how to get it up here. Anyway, I don't know why I'm talking about that, but that's really good stuff. Bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from, listen to what he says here. A good person produces good things from trying really hard to be good. I'm not reading the Bible. I wasn't even looking down. I was making it up as I go along, right? But you're going to hear that. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. So why do you keep calling? And this is the reason I wanted to go on to this passage, because I think it's imperative to understand, because he says, so why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? It reminds me real quick, and don't let me leave, find that, figure that. This camping trip, it was the funniest thing. My little four-year-old granddaughter, Felicity, we call her Lissy, she was trying to tell me something and talk to me as I was doing something, and she couldn't get my attention. She goes, Papa! Papa! She was trying to tell me. I couldn't tell what she... Anyway, I was doing something else. She goes, to hear me is to obey me. Whoa. I think she heard that somewhere. And she just flipped that thing around and used it right on me. Like, man, woo. Both Robin and I, we were both doing something. We both looked at each other. She goes, what did she just say? It's like, yeah, that's what she just said. To hear is to obey. Like, oh, anyway. I thought it was hilarious, too. She got my attention, and I listened, and I don't even know. She just wanted me to help her do something. That's all. All right, get back to it. Okay. Because this is what he says. This is the illustration he uses about producing fruit. He says, I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the flood waters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without any foundation. And when the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruin. You see, producing fruit, being fruitful as a Christian, it's more than just looking cute as a Christian, looking good as a Christian. It, your stance, your foundation, your building, your life depends on it. According to Jesus, your life actually depends on it. It's not optional. Just like Stephen last week, this message was amazing. If you find it on the podcast, listen to it. It's really, really good. But it was just about that, and he just hammered that point home. Following the Holy Spirit is not optional. It's the only way to live the Christ life. Amen? So, worship team, if you'll come up, this means I'm going to finish up. But I want to hit something really hard again. And it's a good point. Did I lose my mic again, or is it just me? No, it's on. Okay, good. Back to Isaiah 61 and the reference to becoming an oak of righteousness. You see, there's the obvious connection that I'm seeing is this trade being made in verse 3. The trade being made. It's almost identical to the trade that he says, don't follow the flesh, follow the spirit. Make the trade in your life. Don't pursue the acts of the flesh. Pursue the spirit life. So he says this. These are the words that he uses in verse 3. He says, and this is the trade, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Just let that sink in for a second. Because then he says, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. That's in the NIV version, which is one of my favorite versions of the Bible. Because it says it in a way that I hear it and I can understand it and I could get it. An oak is a planting of the Lord. You are a planting of the Lord. You are called to display his splendor. God is glorious. God is good. God is kind. God is gentle. God is faithful. God is love. God is patient. God in you, the Spirit of God in you, is what's going to produce the fruit of the Spirit out of you. Walk in the Spirit instead of the flesh. Trade. I don't care if you want to call it a trade in, trade up, trade off, trade out. Make the trade. Walk in the Spirit instead of the flesh. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do just thank you for this morning. Thank you that your love for us is above and beyond what we can even put into words. But by your Spirit, you speak to us. And we are listening. We hear you. We open our hearts. We open our lives. We say yes to your leading, your guiding. We say yes to your comfort, your kindness. And we say thank you. And we ask that you would do this for us this very morning. And I know this is a simple thing right now, right here, right now. And everybody in the room, just brace yourself. If there's something in your hands, unless it's a baby, just remove anything in your hands, whatever, set it down. But I want you to do something. I'm going to ask us to do this, and we're going to engage in the Lord with your eyes closed. Envision yourself putting on a garment, a cloak, a coat, just putting it on, a garment of praise. Can look to you and just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, just wrap and just not now. I want you to just hold that as you're holding him. Just hold him. And as we just sit here this morning and turn our focus and our gaze to praise. It's the only solution to a spirit of despair, a spirit of hopelessness, is to reach out. Just reach up, open up, and praise the Almighty, living, holy, loving God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Just fill us afresh, fill us anew. Fill us fully. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.